Well, I love that song, Amazing Grace, Brother Jeremy. It says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And if there's a verse 5, when we've been there 10 million years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And then we could go, when we've been there 10 billion years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. We can't even lay hold to eternity, can we? Just the grasp that's almost mind-boggling, but my, one of these days, we're going to go into eternity, and there we'll be with the Lord forever and ever. Exodus chapter number 20. If everybody's obeyed the Lord tonight, I'm gonna do something just a little odd for me. Feels different for me, but I believe it's what the Lord wants for the hour tonight. Exodus chapter number 20. We'll begin in reading in verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children until the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. I just want to stop there a minute and say this. The Lord gives us 6 good days. We ought to give Him 1 out of 7. We all do that. Y'all looking, I figured I'd get an amen out of that from somebody. I mean, we just robbed God of time that He would like to have. I'm afraid, and I understand we don't have a Sabbath. Y'all sitting there looking at me kindly odd, but you know, the principle is this: God wants some time dedicated to Him. That's the principle behind it. And we just about ruled Him out of the schedule, marked Him off the calendar, marked Him off the schedule. And that really convicts me when I read that. Now, let's go back to verse number 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. Now let's stop right there and pray, and then I'll try to just give you a few little thoughts tonight. Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this evening. I thank you, Father, for the blessings of life and the privilege to stand and open your word and declare the truths, your blessed book. Now, I ask you, Father, to please give me a clarity tonight and give me a mind that is thinking like it ought to. And Father, I ask you to open the hearts of the listeners, and you just do tonight what needs doing. Just have your way and do what needs doing. And be glorified out of all that's said and done. Father, we'll give you the praise for what you do. If there's anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit, would you refrain it for just a few minutes tonight and do the work that needs doing. And we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you on something I probably hadn't. I don't know if I've ever strictly preached on the Ten Commandments. But that's kind of where I want to go at tonight. And I want to ask you a question. Well, there's a big battle across our land right now, off and on different places, about the Ten Commandments. You know they're taking them out of the courtroom and they're taking them off the walls and all these sorts of things. And the question I want to ask you, are they still valid today?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's the right answer, I think. But how do we know that? What makes you think that? There's some reasons I want to share with you tonight. Some folks will say this. Well, if the Ten Commandments are valid, then why is the ceremonial law and the civil law, why is it not valid? Why is it you say the Ten Commandments are valid and you don't recognize the rest of it? Just a pretty good question, I think. Something we ought to think about. And so I want to talk to you for just a few minutes on these commandments. And it is so. They are still valid. I'm as convinced of that as I'm standing here today. And the first thing, I just want to give you a few little truths. And I don't know, we'll look at a few scriptures here in a little bit. But the number one thing I want to say about the commandments, they reflect the character of God. The Ten Commandments reflect the very character of God. Of who God is. And if God doesn't change, then they're still valid today. Now, let me just slow up. Maybe I'll just talk to you a little bit about these. But they really enlighten us about the God we serve. Let me give you an example. The sixth commandment says this, Thou shalt not kill. Now, the chief reason why it's wrong to kill, and my, you can kill in many ways, I understand that. But one of the chief reasons that's wrong is because that's contrary to the nature of God. Our God's not a killing God. Now, I understand he has to punish sin because he's just. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying our God's not out to do folks wrong. He's not out to take life. He's out to give life. And you can start expanding on that commandment alone. And my, there's much you can learn about God. He's not a God out to hurt us. He's a God out to help. He's not a God out to destroy, but he wants to build up and help people in life. And so when we look at these commandments, we see we see something of the character of God. The eighth commandment says, thou shalt not steal. Again, a direct reflection on the character of God. Our God is a God who gives. He doesn't take away. He's a giving God. Can I just say this? The God you serve wants to give you the best things of life. He doesn't want to rob you of what you have and the good blessings of life, but He wants to give to you. He wants you to have. And we could just expand on that. God's character is one of benevolence. It's one of giving and not taking. And so I want to say the first thing that we see these commandments and lets me know that they're still valid today is that they reflect the character of God. And you can take every one of them and you can see attributes of God from that commandment. Now, you say, preacher, how do we know that's so? Look in Leviticus chapter number 19. Leviticus chapter number 19. Now here's what the Lord said. Well, let me just read verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, now listen what He says, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Now here's what He's saying. I want you to be holy because I'm holy. And then He doesn't stop, and then he goes into verse 3, and He says, you shall fear every man, his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. Verse 4, turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. Jump down to verse 11. Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie to one another. Ye shall not swear by my name falsely. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor. Verse number 13. Verse 14. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind. Here's what He said. I want you to be holy because I'm holy. And now here's what I want you to do. Now understand this is where talking about these commandments, it's not we're trying to be saved. We're not talking about a positional holiness. When you're saved, you're placed with Christ in God. We understand that, but there is a practical holiness that does not affect relationship, but it will affect fellowship. And that practical holiness, these commands are given us so we can seek that practical holiness in our life and maintain the proper fellowship with the Lord. I could go over to Isaiah 59, show where your sins and iniquities have separated and broken the fellowship with the Lord. And so the Lord is saying to these people, He's saying, you need to be holy like I'm holy, and here's what you need to do. He's given them some commands, and my, we should heed those as well. Let me read, and I'm not sure what this verse is, but Romans 7 and verse number 12, I want to read that to you. I have it down. Yeah, here's what it says. This is Paul's writing. And he said, wherefore the law is holy. And then he goes on and he says, and the commandment is, and the commandment holy and just and good. Now you can say what you want to, but the Apostle Paul in the New Testament economy said the commandment was holy and it was just and it was good, and in the next verse says it's spiritual. I believe it's the next verse. If it's not, it's in there. It's in there somewhere. Verse 14, second verse from that, for we know that the law is spiritual. Now, here's what a lot of people say. You're being legalistic, and if you're trying to get to heaven on the Ten Commandments, you are being legalistic. There's a big difference in legalism and holiness. Holy living's a God-ordained requirement. Legalism is basing good works on salvation. You must rightly divide that. The Apostle Paul said the law was holy and just and good and spiritual, and he said that in the economy of the New Testament. I guess what I'm trying to say to you, God is holy, and these laws give us a picture of God, and they're holy. And we're to be holy because our God is holy, and we're to be Christ-like, and Jesus was Christ, and He is God. And if we're going to be Christ-like, we need some holiness in our life. My, it seems awful quiet tonight. I understand it's maybe a little odd to you, but I'm convinced this is right. I know it's right. These commandments reflect the character of God, and if we're going to have the character of God, we need to make that a practice of our life. And God doesn't change. His character doesn't change. And whether you're in the Old Testament, New Testament, now His ways of dealing with men are different. But His character doesn't change. And if this is attributes of His character, then it certainly carries over. And so we see first, and I've already gotten off my outline, but they reflect God's character. You can be sure about that. That's why they're still valid today. And I want to say, too, they're still valid today because the way they were given. Now, I want you to think about this. And I said this question already. Why should all the civil and the ceremonial laws be done away with and the Ten Commandments not be done away with? Let's think about how they were given. How is it God speaks to man? As a rule. Here's how God speaks to man as a rule. He will speak through human instrumentality. He will use a prophet or a preacher or a seer or whatever word you want to use, and He'll give him a message to carry to the people. But I want you to look how the Lord... Let's look in Deuteronomy chapter number 5 for just a minute. I just want to take your time tonight and just look at some of these little truths. In Deuteronomy chapter number 5, we have the commandments given again. Verse 11, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Verse number 12, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it. Verse number 16, honor thy father and thy mother. Verse number 17, thou shalt not kill. Verse number 18, neither shalt thou commit adultery. Verse number 19, thou shalt not steal, all the commandments. But then I want you to look in verse 22. These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, and with a great voice. And He added no more. Now, With these commandments, the Lord spake Himself to the people. But that's not all He did. I want you to notice what else He did with the commandment. And He wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto Me. Now here's what Moses said. He wrote the commandments in stone. And we could flip over. In fact, we probably, let's just do that. Exodus 31 and 18. In Exodus 31, verse number 18, and He gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with Him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, notice what it says, written with the finger of God. Now stop and think about what the Lord did with the Ten Commandments. He wrote them in two tables of stone with His finger. Now I want to ask you this, when God wanted to convey a message, where else and whenever, through time and through recorded in the Scriptures, do you find God writing that message with His finger in a table of stone? Where else? Now what you might say is that doesn't prove anything. But what that proves to me is this is something God wanted to preserve. It's something He wanted to keep. He's something He wanted to be sure they always had there before them. It's the one time that He took His finger and He wrote in stone what He wanted them to do. That's a powerful statement when you start thinking about that. That shows the importance the Lord was placing on that, in my mind anyway. But then when He come back to all these regulations of the civil and the ceremonial law, He just spoke through Moses. It's just Moses He was speaking through. What that really says to me is that God is elevating the commandments above the rest of that law, which was going to be done away with when the Lord came and the New Testament became effective. And so, I guess what I'm trying to get across to you today, or what I'm persuaded of, the commandment, the Ten Commandments that everybody's trying to do away with, and everybody's trying to get them out of sight and out of mind, God meant for those to be eternal. Why He put them in stone? And the reason they're eternal, His character doesn't change. And they're representative of His character. And so, and by the way, you know why they want to do away with the law, don't you? Brings guilt to their life. You get it. I guess I'm getting ready to say something I ought not to say, but I'm going to say it. You get a bunch of crooked lawmakers together and there's some thieves in the group. Well, amen. You know it's right tonight. You can sit there and look at me if you want to, but that's right. You get that crowd together, there's a bunch of thieves and adulterers and liars in the group. And it condemns them and makes them feel bad about who they are. Amen. That's why they want to do away with it. They don't want anybody telling them they're wrong. Folks don't like to be told they're wrong, especially in this society we live in. Used to it was a little easier, but it's not so now. I think it comes back to that convictions and beliefs, and then it drops down to opinions that Brother Willis was preaching on. People today, that's just your opinion. I want to tell you, if the Word of God says it, it's the truth of the Word of God. That's it. And so we're going to have to live by. And so we see a couple of truths. I've got five of these little truths I'm going to share with. Number one, the Ten Commandments reflect the character of God. And His character remains unchanged today. And the Ten Commandments, the way they were given, implies to me that God meant some permanency to them. The fact that they were written in stone with His finger. Don't find that, to my knowledge. And I know you can go to Daniel and see the handwriting on the wall, but I'm talking about as far as putting that thing in stone and it being preserved. Then I want to give you just a couple other little truths I think we need to get about the law. And I'm going to say this, and you're going to think, I know the law, the Bible says the law is not for a righteous man, open the New Testament. But can I say this? That may be primarily true, but the law is for God's people as well. It's for God's people. You realize what kind of people receive the law? The Israelites, were they still in Egyptian bondage when they received the law? Had they been delivered from the power of Pharaoh when they received the law? You know they had, sure they had. That was God's people who received the law. And I understand it does. It is our schoolmaster. I understand all that. But I'm telling you, there's another side to the law that is a good, schoolmaster to help us in our conduct as God's people. Amen. The law, it was not only designed to educate sinners, but to govern the conduct of the believer. Let me just read a little bit of this and read it better and just talk to you about it, I guess. The Ten Commandments are standards for practical righteousness. That's what it is. It governs right and wrong because it's the character of God. You got to keep in mind, we're to be Christ-like, God-like, if you want to say it that way. And it governs, it should govern our conduct and help us to be like Him. And when I say that, keep in mind, let me say it again, I'm speaking about fellowship, not relationship. There's a big difference in those two things. My, it's where so many of God's people get sideways. And let me just say it again, sinners can never be saved by keeping the law. It can't happen. You're saved as a free gift from God. There's no doubt about that. I'm talking about believers tonight. I want you to look in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Let's look there just a minute. And let me say it again, the law had been given to delivered people. It had been given to that crowd that had escaped Egyptian bondage, escaped the power of Pharaoh on their life. And we look in Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse 5 and 6, it said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart." He had given the commandments to the children of Israel, and he said, "You keep these in your heart, and while they're in your heart, you just love me." By the way, it ought not be a chore to be obedient to the Word of God. He's saying, "Hey, I want you to be obedient to my commands, but at the same time, there ought to be some love in your heart for me." The commandments is, here's what I'm trying to say, they're not there to put us in some kind of a slavery or a bond. It ought to just be a joy to seek to be like our Lord. You see, the law It was given to those delivered people, and really it was meant to bring blessings to their life. It was really meant to be blessed. You know what the Ten Commandments will do if you practice those in your life? It'll protect you. Spiritually, it'll protect you. You know what else it'll do? It'll give you godly counsel when you might be wavering on what you ought to do. Those commandments will give you, it'll give you some good advice. Do you know it's words of blessing to your life? You live by those commandments, you're positioning yourself for the full blessings of God. And it's words of holiness and spirituality and goodness that Paul was talking about. I'm just trying to say to you, the world's trying to do away with the Ten Commandments, but can I tell you, that's the basis for a practical righteousness. And so we need to understand that the law's not only for sinners, but it's for believers as well. We need to understand that little truth. And the Ten Commandments, they have authority today, and you need to understand that. They're still effective today, and they reflect the character of God. But then I want to give you just a couple of more, and I'll be through. But I'm going to preach on these for a while if the Lord doesn't change my mind. I just want you to kind of get these little principles down tonight as we start working through the commandments. But the fourth thing I want to say, these commandments cover many times they cover a family of sins, not just a specific sin. Some folks say, well, there's just 10 things we need to worry about. But no, they represent a family, a species maybe. We could say it that way. A species of sin or a grouping of sins. And we'll look at that in just a minute. And what we have to do when it says, thou shalt not steal, we have to look and see what all's involved in that. Let me ask you this. Have you ever stole the spiritual time of somebody? Now, I'm just asking you, have you ever, somebody trying to serve God, have you ever stole their time? I'm not talking about if it's legitimate, but you just wasted somebody's time. I'm just trying to get you to see you can steal in a lot of ways. You can lie in a lot of ways. You can say the truth, but it be misleading. That's a lie. And I could give you an example too of that, but I'm not going to. How many of you have ever said, well, I told the truth, but really it gave the wrong message to who you was talking to, and you knew it sent the wrong message? That's real close to lying. Well, you see, when you talk about not lying, it may cover several things. You talk about adultery, it's not just physical adultery. What about mental adultery? Does the Bible not talk about that? Sure it does. What about spiritual adultery? Does not talk about that? You ever committed spiritual adultery? You ever loved another God besides the true and the living God? You're an adulterer. You committed adultery. See, this thing goes much deeper than just the specific sin of the flesh that's mentioned there. You lust on a woman in your heart, you've committed sexual adultery. Mentally, you've committed adultery. See, we need to understand. Let's look in Matthew 5, chapter 20, verse 21. Matthew 5. I've been up too long tonight. Let's just look here for a few minutes, just a minute or two. Matthew 5, verse 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I want you to notice what the Lord puts with it. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Now a lot of folks say you shouldn't ever say fool because you're in danger of hell fire. Well, I think if you take this in the context, what the Bible's trying to teach us here is that there's a lot of little sins that leads up to the killing. Now I want you to notice what it says. You have heard, thou shalt not kill is the end resultant sin. But notice what it says, that whosoever is angry. Now here's what happens when there's a killing, when there's murder. Somebody gets angry. Somebody starts talking, running their mouth. And so you got anger, you got talking, which generates strife, and then you have violence. It's a progressive, and from the start to the very end, it's all sin. And when it says you call somebody a fool, you're in danger of hell fire, I think what it's saying, there's a good danger you're getting ready to get killed. I think that's the message of that verse. You start running your mouth and folks are angry, there's a good chance somebody could get hurt. And it's sin. That's sin. What we have to understand, that all goes with that sin of killing. You put it all together. Verse 27. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now you know as well as I do the act of adultery don't happen instantaneous. As a rule, I wouldn't say it's never happened that way, but most of the time there's a look. That's why your eyes is so important to you. That's right. You look. And then there's thought sin. Isn't that right? Am I telling it right or not? Sure I am. You know it's right. And then there's a little plan. And there's a little meditation. And then the actual act of adultery is committed. But it started way long time ago back here when there was a look. And really, really, it's all sin. Because when you look with your eyes, you committed adultery. Folks, it's just so. And when you dwelled on that, you thought about it, you worked out the details in your mind, you was committing adultery. And the actual act of adultery is just the fruit of sin you've all... Isn't that how sin works? A little sin gets to be a little bigger sin. And then a little bigger sin. And then there's something that happens that can't be corrected. Isn't that right? Well, here's what I'm saying. Each one of these commandments cover a family of sins. And it might be... You might say, well, preacher, what I think it is, it's all those little sins that go culminate in the sin of adultery or killing or whatever it is. And I suspect there's not been many acts of adultery that hadn't included some lying in it and some covetousness in it. Just food for your thought. Each of these commandments, I want you to understand that, each one of them covers a family of sins. They're just as applicable today as they was back then. We're going to get on idolatry here before we get through. Man, there's all areas. Usually what we'll say is sports and, and singers and movie stars. But you know, really, these all, you make an idol out of about anything. Make an idol out of your yard. Known people, they wouldn't go to church on Sunday because they're working on their yard, trying to have a beautiful yard. How foolish. How foolish. And so, the fourth thing I want you to see, each commandment covers a family of sins. And then lastly, I want you to understand the commandments include opposite positive values. Here's what we get. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. But can I say there's some things thou shalt do. In opposition to that, that's not the right word. And I don't know what word I'm trying to come up with, but in a comparison of some things you ought not to do, they imply some things we ought to do. Let me give you an example of that. Hebrews 13 and 5. Hebrews 13 and 5, the last commandment is this, thou shalt not covet. We live in such a world of covetousness. Oh, I want what they got. I want that. But the Bible says thou shalt not covet. But I want you to notice what the Scriptures says in verse number 5. Let your conversation, that's your lifestyle, be without covetousness. That's what it says. But it doesn't stop there. That's the negative. Don't covet. That's the negative. But now notice the positive. Here's what it tells you to do. And be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Now, what this is saying is, you ought not covet, and what you ought to do is be content and rely on the Lord to take care of you. Now, the negative is, thou shalt not covet. But the positive is, be content and let the Lord take care of you. And I think with all the commandments, you can see that principle. There is a negative, thou shalt not, many times. But there's also some positives of some things you should do. And you've got to get that. You've got to get that in your heart. And there's still, I guess the thing that troubles me, we're trying to do away with something that God meant for us to keep. And our country, it's gone downhill, and I really don't hear many folks defending the commandments like they ought to. Just a battle nobody's interested in taking up. And so let me give you these five principles again. I'll close out tonight. And then I want to start working through the commandments. I just want to look at them for a few weeks as we have opportunity. Number one, the commandments reflect the character of God. And that's very important because we need to be Christ-like. They reflect the character of God. Number two, the commandments keep their full authority today. Number one, because God's character doesn't change. Number two, the way they were given to us. They were written with His finger in stone. And number three, the commandments, not just for sinners, but it's for saints as well. And I understand some of the Scriptures that talk about the law being a schoolmaster and that, but there's application for the saints. And then number four, each commandment covers a family of sins. You take that thing, thou shalt not kill, there's two or three other sins we just talked about that go right along with it. There's been many a man killed with an ungodly tongue. His character's been assassinated. His influence has been destroyed by an ungodly tongue. It's right. I'm telling you right. That's as much killing, that's as much a violation of that commandment as physical killing. Each commandment covers a family of sins. And then with the commandments, they're many times they're accused of being negative, but there's always an opposite positive response that goes with that. And I just wanted to lay that little groundwork tonight before, if the Lord will allow me to and doesn't take me another direction, my desire is to spend some time on the commandments and just talk about them and just look maybe at the scope of what they cover and get the true nature, get the spirit of what the Lord was giving them when He actually gave the commandments to the children of Israel. It was to guide them. It was to provide blessing, to position them for blessings, full blessings from God. And I think we've done a great injustice by taking them lightly. And I know what folks say. Well, here's what you do, and I've just preached on it not long ago. Well, if you just love with all your heart, mind, and soul, really what that saying is, if you love right, you'll do those commandments to people. If you love right, you're not going to steal from somebody. If you love right, you're not going to covet their wife. If you love right, you're not going to lie. You're not going to kill. If you love, that's why that was given, because that allows us to do what we need to do. And you can divide those up. The first five toward, you all have heard all this, the first five toward God and the other five toward man. And the two commandments is this: love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. And second is likened to this: thy neighbor as thyself. You love God, you'll keep the commandments related to God. You love your neighbor, you'll keep commandments related to your neighbor. And so here's what I'm saying as I come to a close this evening. The commandments are still in effect. They're still good guidelines for us to conduct our lives by. And we should do that. And I'm just going to tell you, and I know you know it, but let me say, if you lie, you're sinning. By the way, the Ten Commandments can be found in a form, every one of them in one form or another, in the New Testament. I know you're talking about, you're sitting there thinking, what about the Sabbath? Keep the Sabbath. Well, if you really look at the principle behind that, you can find it in the New Testament. You can find it in the New Testament. Here's what I'm saying. When you violate those commandments, you're sinning against God. It was sin back then. It's still sin today. Lie, steal, kill, covet, what, whichever one you want to look at. I'm just going to tell you this, and I guess I'm probably as guilty as anybody. But when we don't have respect for the Lord's Day, I'm afraid the Lord's displeased with that. I'm really afraid of that. We've made it our shopping day. We've made it this day and that day, and I'm not trying to put you in bondage. You do what you need to do, but I just wonder. I just wonder sometimes. The Lord's pleased with all we get in such a whirlwind. We come back in on Sunday night. We're not fit to worship. Many times that's so, is it not? I mean, just let your life. Most time we just can sweep in barely at the last minute to get here, because we've been trying to do 8 hours worth of activities in 6 hours or whatever the time frame is. And I understand that's the world we live in. I've been guilty of it myself. But I'm not sure it pleases the Lord. In fact, I'm comfortable it displeases Him. It's the Lord's Day. I think back to my raising, and there was respect for the Lord's Day. There was respect for it. It's become a thing of the past anymore. I'm saying to you, these commandments are still valid for us today, and we need to spend a little time thinking about them. I think it'll help us along the way. Brother Allen, I don't think we need a song, but let's come have a verse anyway. Sister King, if you would, come to the piano. And let's just stand to our feet tonight and help Brother Allen sing. Brother Allen, what number do you have tonight? God spoke to you.